Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, Martin Luther King Jr. events here in Columbus and budget amendments from City Council. We begin this week's show by talking about the 2013 budget. Council members have announced their amendments to the $766 million plan proposed by Mayor Coleman. The amendments continue to invest in strong and safe neighborhoods while ensuring the long-term financial sustainability of the community and includes an unprecedented investment in small business and economic development efforts while increasing the city's economic stabilization or rainy day fund. Here's Council President Ginther.
We are not only investing in priorities that will strengthen Columbus's financial position, but those that will strengthen our neighborhoods, keeping them healthy, safe, and strong. As you know, last week, Finance Chair Tyson and I announced that Council would amend the budget to invest an additional $3 million in carryover dollars into the city's rainy day fund, and to recommit to building a healthy reserve that will protect future generations from the type of recession we have come to know all too well over the last decade, and to prepare for those challenges yet unknown. To that end, Council this week passed a resolution on Monday evening to build the Rainy Day Fund to $75 million by the end of 2018. It's the right thing to do, and I am proud of Councilmember Tyson and my colleagues for unanimously supporting this position and this investment. We're trying to place consistent, long-term strength and stability of this city above short-term gains that cannot be sustained, and for keeping our shared commitment to the voters to restore services, reform government, and invest in those critical services that contribute to our high quality of life in Columbus. And much credit should also be given to the mayor. Mayor Coleman and his team have managed costs, limited the growth of the city budget, while at the same time making key investments that are making our city safer and our neighborhoods stronger, and which are laying the groundwork for an even brighter future for our city. I truly believe that our best days lie ahead, and by working together as a team and in close communication with the mayor, the auditor, their staffs, we are proposing as a council a number of strategic amendments that will continue our investment in well-performing health and education programs, leverage the good work of our not-for-profit partners, spur new ideas and innovation within the entrepreneurial sector, and reinforce our commitment to our number one priority, public safety.
That was Council President Ginther. Auditor Hugh Dorian reported to City Council a carryover of about $7.5 million in general fund revenue from 2012. As in years past, the City Council has decided to place a substantial amount of that carryover, the $3 million Council President talked about in the Rainy Day Fund, to help pay for critical city services like police and fire protection during economic downturns. Here's Finance Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson.
My amendments will focus on the areas that I chair and the issues that I'm very passionate about. They include a focus on workforce development and workforce training, meeting the human service needs of our community, savings for today and for a rainy day, and providing health services in a way that helps people move forward with their lives. So the first one is workforce development. This year I'm proposing $385,000 to support our workforce. And as you've heard today, a lot of the conversations have been around economic development, small business development. However, those small businesses have to have a workforce, and we need to make sure that we have a workforce prepared to meet the needs of these organizations. We are currently last year we put about $100,000 into this fund. This year I mentioned $385,000. We are currently partnering with agencies to support work readiness and job preparedness. It is important to identify the candidates and help them be prepared and ready to go to work to meet the jobs that we have today, because there certainly is a gap. So we have jobs and employers and are looking for good people, and we are going to try to make sure that we help get people ready for those jobs. We also will be partnering with our local colleges and universities and other workforce development programs. We also will be partnering with the Central Ohio Workforce Investment Corporation and the Community Development for All People to establish a workforce program which focuses on the employment on the south side of Columbus. I also will be partnering with the Central Ohio Minority Supplier Development Council to establish an MBE Academy to ensure that businesses are trained properly to be able to have successful businesses and have employees who will be able to work for them. My next area is human services. As chair of the Human Health and Human Services Committee, I have a passion for supporting the needs of the human service community. Our nonprofits enhance our quality of life and the services meet the needs of our most vulnerable in our community. Because of this, I'm proposing an additional $250,000 to support those organizations. I'm also passionate about the health of our community, that the residents of our community are healthy. We certainly will not have a strong workforce if we don't have healthy people to be able to work in these companies. And so my amendments will be focused on nutrition, prevention, and wellness, and will focus on some of the most pressing needs in our community. These amendments will highlight, as President Ginther just suggested, we're looking at infant mortality reduction, support programs to prevent infectious disease, support programs to help curb the current obesity epidemic, provide treatment for chemical dependency, and aid nutrition programs through the summer food program and community gardens. The last amendment is the Rainy Day Fund, and we've talked extensively about this, and the key to this is to make sure that we are, as I said, it is for a savings for today and a rainy day, because it's so important to have a rainy day fund to get to $75 million, because that will help us keep our AAA bond rating. It will also ensure that we will have, when we're going out and looking to purchase debt for the programs that we have here, that we get the best interest rate possible. And lastly, we want to make sure, in keeping that AAA bond rating, that we want to have our rainy day fund between 8 and 15%. And that is because the Government Financial Office Association recommends that. And so that's what we're moving towards.
That was Councilmember Tyson. Councilmember Klein chairs the Development and Recreation and Parks Committees.
You know, we're making a significant investment in the city of Columbus, unprecedented, about how we're going to go about funding small businesses and how we're going to create an atmosphere where small businesses can grow, small businesses can thrive, because they are our job creators. And we're doing what we can. We're putting our money where our mouth is so that we create an atmosphere and a playing field where they win. Because when they win, folks get jobs and we all win as a city. I'd also like to thank the Small Business Roundtable, which is a collaboration of folks that are small business owners, small business consultants, small business advisors that have met with us on a couple different occasions as a council to talk about the needs of small business and what we can do to make small businesses grow, to make them sustainable, so that they can create jobs. One emerging theme is access to capital. And that is really where a majority of my amendments lie, is focusing on over $1 million in total, not only my amendments, but amendments that other council members have, for small business loans, micro-lending, working capital, loans for machinery and equipment and building space, even building improvements through the Neighborhood Design Center, training and technical assistance, all focused for the small business owner. When you look at the total package of amendments for small business and economic development, it's $2 million investment, $1.3 million of which is going to go to small business. This is, when you look at the loan numbers, a nearly 70% increase from last year that we're putting in to small business growth. Increase for small business development and assistance, and doing what we can as a city to improve access to capital for small businesses so they can grow and thrive and do what they do best, which is create jobs and make this a great place to live and work.
That was Councilmember Klein. Councilmember and President Pro Tem A. Troy Miller set aside $400,000 to bring small business incubators to various Columbus neighborhoods.
As you have heard from our previous council members, how much we as council have put a lot of importance on small businesses. Under my direction, City Council is preparing to support four incubators in Columbus. That's the ECDI mixed-use incubator, the CCAD mine market, the Linden Point of Pride retail incubator, and the possibility of a downtown technology accelerator. I'm sponsoring these amendments to link people in order for them to get attainable jobs, and also these amendments will help teach employable technology skills to those working through economic struggles, and that is through my support with Per Skolas. But the organization like the Linden Point of Pride Incubator hopes to have up to 25 businesses running within 3 years. The business model will help businesses grow without having to invest too much in capital. This incubator will also involve students from Lyndon McKinley High School and use technology with interactive kiosks. I am a passionate person about small businesses, and I believe having the tools, you have to have these tools to be successful and thrive within the city of Columbus. These amendments are just some of the tools that will help small business and also minority businesses grow within the city of Columbus.
That was Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Mills heads the Safety and Judiciary Committee and will use a budget amendment to fund programming in the Safety Department that crafts business-friendly regulations across Columbus.
I am very proud to be here today to talk about how we continue to work with, as you heard, the theme of small businesses and others. And as we create laws and policies and ordinances that govern in that, we have to ensure that there is an ability to support them as well as protect them. And so with that, I am very happy to announce the sponsoring of amendment for licensing section to additional individuals to help with the access and the adherence and compliances that we hope to set forth going forward as it relates to both vehicle for hire, our taxi cabs, our food trucks, and many others. As we move into new endeavors and new enterprises, we know that the regulation and all of that increases the workload in our licensing section, and we want to make sure that the capacity is there to support that. Make sure that we do not create unfunded mandates, that we are not there insisting on certain rules and regulations without the support from the city to help our small businesses and all the other folks that have to comply with that have struggles with compliance. Again, I want to thank the leadership, but also want to thank the citizens of Columbus who are not shy in sharing their investment and their thoughts about what the city needs. And it takes a lot to do that sometimes. And I want to thank all of our stakeholders who've come forward to share some of the common sense things that they feel will be very supportive for a lot of our new industries and new endeavors that are growing in our great city. So I want to thank those who have certainly shared with me, if not only from the food truck industry, but certainly from many others in terms of the needs. But we want to be there and make sure we have a capacity to support the things that we put in place. So I cannot say enough about what I believe is true stewardship and what you see in the amendments, and again, a promise that we've made to our citizens to continue to protect them and to serve them.
That was Councilmember Mills. Councilmember Paley is helping to grow an important economic corridor along High Street with one of her budget amendments.
Today, I'm pleased to talk about the amendment I have proposed, one of the amendments, to assist the University Area Business Association. This will empower small business owners, the lifeblood of our economy and our community. Small business people are the ones that know best what they need to make their businesses prosper. This funding will help give businesses in the university district a formal means to strategize together about growth and what is needed there, everything from signage to cleanups to planning. This will also help the business people who work so hard to create the best environment to ensure their success. The Short North is a great example of the success of a small businesses can have in a great, dynamic, thriving neighborhood. One of the tools the Short North business chose was the creation of a special improvement district. This may be something that our University Area Business Association will consider implementing. The University Area Business Association will provide another link in the chain of strong organizations along High Street Corridor between Clintonville and downtown. I am proud to sponsor this amendment today and proud of our team for these amendments.
This Monday, the 21st, is Martin Luther King Day. Columbus City offices will be closed, but there will be a lot of festivities around town beginning early Monday morning. Here to tell us about it from the Community Relations Commission is Napoleon Bell. Thanks for rejoining us, as you always do this time of year on Call the Roll, to fill us in on the great festivities throughout the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited. This, you know, we have been planning for, I know, our event for such a long time to make sure it has high impact, and we get a lot of people there at the event. But then also the Martin Luther King Breakfast Committee, they've been working hard and long on their breakfast every year. And as you know, this is the largest Martin Luther King breakfast celebration in the country, because there are literally, I would say, almost 1,000 people or more at this particular event. And it's going to be held, you know, as always, on the breakfast or on the birthday date of Dr. King, on January 21st, of when we're celebrating it. It's going to be held at the Columbus Convention Center. Because it's so large, that's about the only place they can have it, at there at 400 North High Street. But you got to get up early, because The doors open at 7. Program begins at 7:30 a.m. And then it's real to the point. It's over at 10 o'clock, but they are having a heck of a keynote speaker at this. Is DeForest B. Sorries Jr. You know, and so he's served as the New Jersey's 30th Secretary of State, and he's the first African-American male to serve as a constitutional officer of the state. So he's got a lot of accolades behind him, a very smart gentleman, and is going to, give a great keynote speech and get us all inspired going into 2013 for this year ahead. The theme is, the time is always right to do what is right, for the Martin Luther King Breakfast coming up on the 21st.
That gets the day started. The focus shifts over to City Hall and beyond.
Yeah, I tell you what, now this is something that we do annually. Our office kicks it off, and, you know, with the mayor, and this is the celebrating the legacy program, but the march is you know, not just any old march. You know, we start down at City Hall. We kind of gather at 4 o'clock, and we have some events going on down there at the City Hall garage. It's going to be heated. We're going to have hot chocolate and cookies, but we're going to also have the Saints marching band there, you know, getting us fired up and ready. But then also we have a youth area of the garage, so, because we understand that, you know, during the civil rights movement and Dr. King's time, was that the youth made the difference in the civil rights movement, because they got the attention, and they were the ones who carried a lot throughout the civil rights movement. So we have a youth area, we have a nonviolence signing of the banner to committing to nonviolence for the upcoming year. And then we take the march. And then, like I said, it's not just any march. It's symbolic of the march that Dr. King was involved in over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And so we take that march, remembering that march for voting rights, and going over to Veterans Memorial. And so it doesn't stop there. At Veterans Memorial, you know, we get there about 5:15 or so. And then the program there starts. We have a pre-program that starts at 5:30. And then the main program starts off at 6. But even before that, you know, let me back up a little bit. Inside the Veterans Memorial, we're going to have hands-on, and there are a lot of volunteer opportunities. We're going to have some songs, singing going on inside of there. So there will be activity with inside right as you walk in. And then as you go on into the theater, you're going to have more activity there. So it's jam-packed full of inspiration, full of living that life of Dr. King and his vision, that you'll be inspired as you go through each step of Veterans Memorial, and listening to the and watching the theatrical program that you will see then.
Where can people turn to for more information about Monday's events, not only the breakfast but the march and programs at Vets?
Well, the march and the program at Vets, you know, go to our website at www.crc.columbus.gov, and also do it the old-fashioned way. Just give us a call. You can call us at 645-1993. That's 645-1993 for more information on that, on the program. And then also, you know, we could probably give you some information on the breakfast, even though we don't do that, but as far as the breakfast. But let me see if there's a number you can call. I don't see that, but so if you have some questions on that, we will be glad to help you out on that also.
Talk about the symmetry of the day, because what's happening in Washington won't be lost on the people remembering Dr. King on Monday.
Now, you know, I tell you what, it really just brings it home, you know, to how far that we have come from the 1960s and late 50s. And so, you know, I look at it's symbolic, and you know, with the inauguration of an African American presence for his, the second one, and then you know, being the day that we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, so it states a lot, but also you know, with issues that are going on, you know, it also shows how far we have to go, and so I'm you know, it really is symbolic in many ways that I'm so happy to be a part of, and to hopefully continue to inspire other communities to, and all of our community in the city of Columbus and beyond, to really be inspired on this day and the vision of what Dr. King saw for all of the country.
Your office, the Community Relations Commission, works to bring together people of all races, faiths, colors, you know, to have one harmonious community. It's not just you know, a black-white issue. Your office handles many more diversity questions, and it are there to help and help mediate mm-hmm. and help bring people together.
Yeah, you know what? I'm amazed at my staff and the office in general about how much that we get accomplished here and how much we are charged to do. Because we do enforce the Civil Rights Code for the City of Columbus, so in housing, employment, and access for all the protected classes, so we do that. You know, we work with the New Americans Initiative, which is working with the refugee and immigrant populations coming into the city, how to help them navigate city services, county services, nonprofits, et cetera, to get them up on their feet as quickly as possible and going to become protective citizens within the City of Columbus. We also are, you know, housing our office, advocacy for the homeless. So any of the homeless issues and working with the homeless and making sure they have proper housing and helping them get employment, you know, so coordinating those services, I mean, it's endless and community impact. So our office is you know, I almost say like a one-stop shop for just about everything here in the city.
Visiting with Napoleon Bell from the Community Relations Commission, you have a yearly trip that you make to help really bring home the civil rights movement and give some texture to what we read and what we see in old black and white film and other media these days. Talk about the civil rights tour.
I tell you what, I first took the civil rights tour when I about 6 years ago, out of Columbus here, and that's when the director at that time was James Stowe, and it was amazing. This civil rights tour that we've been doing every year since then is a tour that we take a busload of folk, and we don't want to take any more than that because we want to be like a family on one bus, and it's also a bus as in what the Freedom Riders did back so many years ago. But that bus is ranges from 8 years old to 80 years old on that bus, and we go from here to Cincinnati, to Atlanta, to then to from Atlanta to Tuskegee, Alabama, then to Selma, Alabama, then to Birmingham, Alabama, and then ending up over in Memphis, Tennessee, at the museum there. And it's an amazing tour. It's a once in a lifetime tour. Everybody that has ridden on the bus has said that it is once in a lifetime, but actually we've had several people, I think about four now, that have gone on the trip probably three times. They've repeated it.
Three times in a lifetime.
Yeah, three times in a lifetime, because they've enjoyed themselves so much, and you learn something each and every time. Even though we're going to some of the same venues, you continue to learn, and myself, you know, I continue to learn something that I did not know before. So this is something where it makes the difference. When you, like you said, you can read it in book, you can see it on TV, but when you are actually there, when you're actually in Selma, Alabama, and you are actually marching across or walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, it hasn't changed in 40 years. You look at it now, you look at it then in the on TV or what have you, in documentaries, it looks the same. So it's almost eerie about, you know, when you're going along this tour, and then you can actually put a place and a feel, and you just feel it in your bones when you're in these different locations, especially when we get to Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel, when where Dr. King was assassinated. So it is an amazing tour. It's April 2nd through the 6th. That's April 2nd through the 6th of this year. Minimal fees, you know, for it. I tell you, we just, we're keeping the cost low because we're getting some sponsorships, which is great. And we can always use more sponsorships to continue to keep it low. But you can call our office. It's also on the website, but you can call our office at 645-1993 and also go to crc.columbus.gov to get more information and get registered. But you got to get registered now, because once the bus fills up, that's it. So we're going to take about 52 people right now, or I think we're right about 35. So you got to do it now. So give us a call right away. Get online, get signed up. And one thing that I forgot to mention was, we are also, you know, well, two things. Actually, we've done so much with the Martin Luther King celebrations. We just finished up our oratorical contest, and that happened on January 5th. We had great young people involved in that. We always try to reach out to all the young people to do their orations in front of a big crowd. Did a heck of a job. One of our junior winners, McKenna Hensley, 12 years old, she won that her category, and so she's going to actually be speaking at Nationwide Children's Hospital at their event. She's going to be speaking at our at the Martin Luther King breakfast and doing her oration there, and also at our program at Vets Memorial. So real happy to see that, you know, really once again showing how our youth are doing great things and inspiring other kids to do the same thing. And simultaneously, we're also having our Martin Luther King art annual art exhibit. It's the sixth year for that, and we have kids from all over the state sending in their artwork, competing to be number one. But also, we are exhibiting that artwork over at Veterans Memorial during the march on the 21st, and then it'll be exhibited in other areas throughout the city after that. So we just continue to press. And the life and legacy of Dr. King and his vision. So we just have to live our lives that way.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. And as you just heard, Monday is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. City offices and City Council will be closed in observance of the holiday. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.